Tired of being frustrated and stressed with administrative tasks in your business? Proactive Payroll rocks payroll and provides relief. We handle your payroll needs simply and efficiently, allowing you more time to work on growing your business. We handle tax reporting and payments, direct deposits, benefit and worker comp reporting, and more. Locally owned and operated with over 30 years of payroll experience. We don't just process payrolls, we build relationships. Visit proactivepayroll.rocks or call 404-410-0031. Broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studio, located inside Digital Ignition, where North Atlanta startups take off. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to North Fulton Business Radio from, I was going to say, Roswell Infinity Studio. It's still sort of the Roswell Infinity Studio, but we are in Digital Ignition.
We are.
For sure. I'm Mike Salmon alongside John Ray. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Mike.
I'm excited. We got a couple great guests here this morning.
Oh, I know, and you're biased. Well, it's the I Like Mike show.
Yes. Well, it's the MMM show.
Yeah, that's right.
And if your name does not start with M, you're not allowed on the air.
I know.
But
and so I'm barely on. You're hanging by my nails,
well, you're
right?
You're special, John.
Oh, yeah, right.
So we'll allow you to co-host the show. Our guests are Michael Blake with Brady Ware & Company and Matt Thompson with TSG Safety. Did I see that right? I'm trying not to wear my reading glasses and then show my age. Thank goodness it's radio, huh?
Oh, boy. We're on the high wire now.
There we go. Michael Blake, Brady Ware & Company, our first guest. And Mike, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks. It's fun to be on.
In addition to having a great name, it's great to meet you. Tell us all about Brady Ware & Company and what your company does.
So Brady Ware is a full-service CPA firm. We are headquartered in Dayton, Ohio, but we've got offices in elsewhere in Ohio and in Indiana, and I work out of the Alpharetta office.
I'm glad you say you have one here. I was going to say that was a long commute this morning.
Well, it would have been worth it. But I didn't have to do it.
Oh, that charm will get you everywhere.
There we go.
You have another water.
Hey, thanks. You know, we specialize in providing services to car dealerships, manufacturing firms. I guess I by default lead the technology and professional services practice. And what we do is you know, whether you need tax services or financial reporting services or consulting services, we produce great financial incomes for our clients, and most of them have revenues between $10 to $100 million a year.
Wow.
Okay, Michael. Now, you are the Director of Valuation Services. Let's talk a little bit about what that is and what you do for clients and really how you got in that particular discipline.
Yeah, so I'm a director. We have another director who is senior to me up in Dayton. So I'm a director of valuation services, but I guess I run that practice down here. And, you know, my job is to educate folks on what stuff is worth when they've got a high stakes transaction. So people are buying or selling businesses, or they're issuing stock or option compensation, or they are exiting a partner. Somebody wants to buy in, right? And the question is, well, what should I be paying for that amount? And the prevailing view in the marketplace is well, you just sort of shake a magic eight ball or you kind of do whack-a-mole for a while and see kind of what number comes up. And my job is to add a little bit more science to that than is generally appreciated. And you know, I'm actually not an accountant. So don't ask me an accounting question. It's instantly malpractice if I try to respond to an accounting question. I don't even do my own taxes. But I'm a recovering investment banker, recovering venture capitalist, and I've done transactions all my life. And so, you know, my mission is to bring that knowledge that I've learned doing business literally all over the world in M&A and helping small business people take advantage of that knowledge, because most people in that $10 to $100 million range have never bought or sold a business before.
Now, you got my attention when you said high risk transactions.
Yep.
So I take it what you're referring to is the various examples you mentioned are all when you're selling a business or valuing a piece of a business. These are things that if you don't get it right, could end up in litigation between two parties that disagree over a final number.
Well, it could end up in litigation, but the reality is that...
And you're trying to help people avoid that, right?
Well, that's right.
Right.
I think if it gets to litigation, then something didn't go the way that it's supposed to. It's really unhard to do a transaction once you're unhappy with it. It's not like buying a TV with Costco and saying, well, you know, there are a couple of dead pixels. I don't like the sound. I don't like the picture. I kind of like my money back. You really can't do that, right? As much as say, you know, Microsoft would like to have done that with Nokia. There's no givesies backsies with a transaction, right? And the peculiar thing is that with most companies, when they're buying a company for a first time or selling the company for the first time, often the counterparty in that transaction has done dozens of transactions. What does that mean? What that means is that our client, before they retain us, they're taking a knife to a gunfight, because doing a transaction isn't all that hard, but it's very hard. It's not all that intuitive either. And so a lot of what we do is that we level the playing field so that maybe they don't have as big a gun, but they got enough that they can at least defend themselves and represent themselves well in the transaction.
We're talking with Michael Blake with Brady Ware and Company here on North Fulton Business Radio. And when it comes to business appraisals, when do most of the clients come to you for help? When's the best? Obviously, when they're looking to sell, they want to get that appraisal. But are there other times when companies should have that process done?
I can answer that in the following way. One time to not have it done is when you're curious. It's really expensive just to sort of satisfy your curiosity. But yeah, I wonder how much my company is worth. Yeah. That's an expensive way to, but anytime you have a transaction, you know, John, I'm glad you focused on this. Any transaction is high risk, right? Mm-hmm. And the smaller the company, the more risk there is involved in the transaction, because there are more unknowns, and the greater the impact will be if it goes south, right?
Right.
So the earlier that you get us involved is the means the more that we can help, the more intellectual capital we can do. Now, a lot of our work takes place in 2 to 3 weeks because we're very transaction focused. You can't be taking 3 to 4 months to do an appraisal, frankly, like a lot of my competitors do during a transaction, because as they say, time kills all deals. And you don't want to be the guy everybody's waiting on to finish the transaction. You don't want to be the last guy in.
Sure. Well, one of the specific areas I know you do work in is early stage appraisals.
That's right.
An important subject around Alpharetta, because we've got so many startup technology companies. So talk a little bit about that, how you appraise a company that has no revenue, no profit.
Yep.
Or very little revenue, maybe.
So the key there is to understand, one, we're not going to have the level of precision of, say, appraising IBM or Apple. The data is just not going to be there. But the way that I approach it is I think I do what venture capitalists do, and this, they look at the market, you know, and startup companies are kind of funny, because in a way they're distressed companies that don't yet have an operating history. And so you may think that's either better or worse, but so when an investor decides they're going to put $100,000 or $1 million of capital in some unproven company, they're really kind of rolling the dice. They're making an educated spin at the roulette wheel. So it's not as much about valuing the company, but what is the value of taking that spin of the roulette wheel? And those kinds of transactions happen every day. They happen dozens of times every day. Silicon Valley is built on it. Route 128 is built on it. Austin is built on it. So rather than try to build some artificial model that's got assumption on assumption on assumption on assumption, that is just, again, it's basically shaking a magic eight ball, I like to look at what the market is actually doing. And that serves two purposes. One, I think it gets you closer to a credible result. The second is that then the client learns something. You know, when a client reads a work product, it's almost like somebody with attention deficit disorder reading a Sherlock Holmes novel, right? They go to the end and they see what the number is. And if they happen to agree with my number, then I'm a genius. And if they don't, I'm an idiot, right? And that's, you can argue whether that's good or bad, but that's the way the world works. When the client gets in and they actually see, Here are 20 transactions that have taken place in your space. Here are the investors. And by the way, here are the 8 companies that we know are coming down the pike that you didn't know about because they're working in their garage and Google now invested in them. That is huge strategic intelligence for them. And it almost, it outweighs the value of the value conclusion itself.
Wow. Yeah, I guess it gets a little sensitive sometimes, because you're talking about someone's baby, right? I mean, you're talking about their company, and that's their little baby. And so if you say little Johnny can't do well in school, then, you know, you get the parents upset, right?
Oh, yeah.
So So it's to follow your analogy, but
I've had scenarios where, you know, a company that they thought that they had a baby, and I've had to tell them, not only you don't have an ugly baby, you have a wombat, right? You don't even have anything close to a baby. That's how little your company is worth relative to what you thought it was. But a lot of what my job is to be an umpire. And,
sure.
And that means that my job isn't to make one team happy or the other. My job is to get the call right. And if you can't handle sometimes people being upset at you when you call the wombat like you see it, you cannot be in this business.
Well, you're doing what's right for the client, to tell the truth. So let's talk about success stories, though.
Yep.
You know, on the buy side being one, your client buying another client or buying another company, I should say.
Yep.
Okay.
That's right.
Talk about one.
So my favorite one is a client that had, they actually personally were in financial distress. He had a failing company. He had an opportunity to buy a competing company, and we managed to secure for him a very strong valuation because they retained me and the seller did not retain somebody, right? So my client had the gun in the gunfight and the target had the knife in the gunfight.
Mm.
Well, guess who won the gunfight, right?
Your client.
We did.
Yep.
Not only did we get them a great price, but we got them 100% financing, including seller financing.
Wow.
So every month that they survived, right, they just gained equity. And their net worth went from $100,000 and then 5 years later was over $15 million of net worth because of that transaction.
Mike Salmon, he got my attention with those numbers.
That wasn't Business Radio X, by the way, was it?
No. But
darn. Yeah,
let's talk.
Absolutely. Well, I've got a lot of questions for you, but let's hear another story now from maybe from the sell side, a success story from the sell side where somebody that retained you and they're looking to sell their business.
Yeah, this is a fun one. This is a technology company that's not far away from here. They retained me. They'd received an offer from a private equity group to be bought. I don't want to use the number, but it was an eight-figure number. Okay, well over $10 million. And we'll call it X. And they retained me to do an appraisal. I went through and I did the appraisal. I said, gee, you know, I'm telling you, I think your firm is worth, you know, 2.1 times X. They sort of breathed deeply. And to their credit, I get a lot of credit for this, but to their credit, they turned down the offer. They had millions of dollars on the table, briefcase, ready to go to Costa Rica, and they had the you-know-whats to turn it down, okay? So they deserve a lot of the credit, not just I. 4 months later, they secured a deal for 1.9x from the exact same buyer.
Wow.
Why? Because they had a credible appraisal in front of them, and they had the confidence to know if we didn't get the right deal, this, you know, the next deal will come along, because that's what the market says. And the work that we did, not just I, but our team did collectively, argued that case. They knew that turning down that big number was the right thing to do. And they got a much bigger number at the end.
So what's at stake for a client that hires you is those are significant dollars relative to whatever the cost of that valuation that they pay you for. I mean, that's a real high reward kind of investment that clients are making in your process.
And generally speaking, I will not take on a client unless I think that our work will generate at least a 10x ROI. If not, it doesn't make sense for them to hire us.
A 10x ROI.
I'll tell you, Mike, our listeners here on Business Radio X are business leaders, entrepreneurs, business owners, executives. And I think you've probably got their ears right now with the way you're talking.
Yep.
I've been fascinated with this interview because this is the first time we've had a whack the mole reference on a show, not to mention a wombat reference as well. We have interviewed other business consulting firms. We have interviewed other accounting firms on the show, and they don't have the personality and the I don't know if the word's charisma that you have. How did you end up where you are today? Because I would never have guessed you to be in this business. I mean, I think this is great for Brady Ware, but how did you tell us your story?
Okay. So I'm a recovering venture capitalist and investment banker. I got my start in venture capital doing what's called defense conversion. So my first job out of school was that I worked for a U.S. venture fund that invested in companies that would themselves invest in companies involved in the design, manufacture, delivery of Russian weapons of mass destruction, convert the technology to a civilian application, and privatize the business. Now, this is before Russia's primary business model was hacking banks and influencing Western elections. This is back in the day when their primary business model was breaking people's kneecaps and digging oil out of the ground. But anyway.
The good old days.
The good old days.
Yeah.
So, for example, we took the largest ICBM guidance system in Russia and turned it into the first Trans-Siberian T1 internet trunk cable. We took an anthrax production facility in Siberia, turned it into a pharmaceutical research company. It's like, you know, hey, Igor, you can make more money by keeping rabbit alive than killing them. Right. Oh, okay. That makes sense. Right. Yeah. So that's kind of how I got started. And then I worked for an Israeli investment bank where I was the token Gentile hire. We used to call me the diversity hire there. And then the funny thing is, you know, I ran away from business valuation my entire life. Why? Because my father did it. My father did it for a little company called Ernst & Young. And he did things like the New England Patriots antitrust suit against the NFL. He did things like Enron and AIG. And I'm like, crap, I'm never going to be half as good at this as what he does. But the problem is that business valuation is the only thing that I'm any good at that I can make a decent living at and is legal. So here I am.
Sounds like your dad, I'll be proud of you.
We'll see. I'm going up to see him for his 50th anniversary in 3 weeks. I'll ask him.
Okay.
Might take a couple of drinks, but I'll get him to say it.
I disagree that this is the only thing you're good at. I think stand-up comedy, it might be in there somewhere.
Well, you know, was it Bob Newhart was a CPA, right? And he got into stand-up comedy. So
there you go.
And all I need is your microphone.
I think not only have you just, you know, talked about how the success you've had and some great stories that I'm so glad you shared. And so right there is worth hiring you out from Blake Ware & Company. Mm-hmm. But then you get the personality and the jokes and everything else.
Yep. There you go.
No extra charge.
No extra charge for all that. Michael, for those that would like to find out more about Brady Ware & Company and reach out to you, where can they get that kind of information?
So, you know, we have a website, bradyware.com. My email is msblake@bradyware.com. My Twitter handle is @unblakeable. And for those who are interested, I host monthly office hours from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Downwind Restaurant, third Thursday of every month. And that's where I hang out and give people free advice.
Great. Michael, thank you very much.
Thank you.
John, you catch that there? Unblakeable.
I like that.
Yeah.
And I know where I'm going on the third Thursday, because this guy sounds like fun to hang out. He's fun to hang out with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
By the way, you brought up the story. You mentioned during the interview something about little Johnny maybe not doing so well in school. Did that get close to home, John, when you were little?
Can we move on, please?
Okay, just curious.
Yeah, thank you.
Maybe that's something you
have a read to do.
I do. Hey, are you tired of being frustrated and stressed with administrative tasks in your business? If so, call Michael Blake. If you don't have time to call Michael, then call Proactive Payroll, because they rock payroll and provide relief. They handle your payroll needs simply and efficiently, allowing you more time to work on growing your business. They also handle tax reporting and payments, direct deposits, benefit and worker comp reporting, and much, much more. They don't just process payrolls. They build relationships. Visit Proactive Payroll Rocks. I'm sorry, proactivepayroll.rocks, or call them at 404-410-0031. All right, our next guest on the show is Matt Thompson with TSG Safety. Matt, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
I almost feel like I need to ask you if you've got any jokes to share with us or anything. It's a tough act to follow.
It is. Put me on the spot like that.
But we'll get into business. TSG Safety, what's your company do?
Yeah, so basically, we help small to medium-sized businesses navigate the regulatory landscape for occupational safety and health. So everyone's heard of OSHA, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, and we help businesses make sure that they're in compliance. We also help reduce the chance that people are going to be injured on the job by helping them, you know, with programs and so forth to prevent those types of situations from happening.
That's pretty important stuff, obviously, before we get into the safety and all that and telling me about the history of the company and your background.
Sure. So I have my undergrad in risk management and insurance. I also have my MBA, both from the University of Georgia.
So go dogs in there.
Yep. Go Dogs. I've been in the industry for a little over 12 years. When I say the industry, I mean occupational safety and health consulting, if you will. I'm also a certified safety professional, which is requires two lengthy exams to get that certification. I started the business in 2012. The whole goal basically is to help keep people safe at work. And, you know, I've been in situations in the past where I've seen people injured on the job, and, you know, my goal is to help prevent that.
Now, Matt, obviously at least any reputable company wants to keep their workers safe. Talk about, I guess, the ramifications of there not being a safe work environment.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one thing that that is required by the federal government is that employers keep their employees safe, right? So that's the overarching requirement from a legal perspective. And there's a lot of other things that that go along with keeping people safe. There's a significant cost associated with accidents in the workplace. So whenever we're able to help businesses prevent those accidents from happening, that's where, you know, they see value in the services that we provide.
Now, so what are the benefits that a company, obviously they want to make sure they're keeping up with regulations and that kind of thing, right? That's pretty basic. But there are other benefits that come out of keeping a safe workplace beyond just keeping out of hot water with the government.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, you bring up the fact that, you know, employers have to stay in compliance. And if you take a look at the regulatory text in its printed form, it's about 750 pages long. And employers are expected to know what's in there when it's applicable to their business. And, you know, businesses want to focus on doing what they do best. They don't want to focus on meeting government regulations. Now, it's definitely something that they have to do, but we help them make sure that they don't have to focus on that and they can focus on running their business. But yeah, so to that point, though, there's also from a cost reduction perspective, when you have somebody injured on the job, it's not just the cost of the medical and the lost work time potentially. There's a lot of other costs associated with that, such as lowered employee morale, lost productivity, having to retrain new employees to perform that job, paying overtime. These are things that are, you know, the employers don't really think about when they have accidents in the workplace. And studies show that those costs are four times greater than the actual cost of the accident, the medical cost of the accident. So it's really important from a cost reduction perspective for employers to focus on safety.
Our guest is Matt Thompson from TSG Safety. And Matt, I want to unwrap that a little bit because obviously you want to help employers meet all the OSHA safety standards and so forth, keep those workers safe. So how do those services, how do you provide those services? What do you do? Are you, you know, you put on your hard hat and you just walk around and go, yep, got to fix that, got to change that. How do, let's unpack exactly what the services are that you provide for these companies.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good analogy because whenever I go out and visit with a company, they are always like, hey, there's the safety guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Got to be on the best behavior now.
Yeah. So, you know, the goal here is whenever we go out and visit companies, is to do walkthroughs, mock OSHA inspections, if you will, to help businesses understand where they may have some gaps from a regulatory perspective, and then provide them a detailed report on what they can do to correct those hazards, so they're not opening themselves up to violations with OSHA, which can incur penalties. So, for example, it's like you're driving down the road and you get pulled over for speeding, and you get a ticket associated with that. It's the same thing for OSHA. If you're not meeting the requirements, and OSHA shows up, the OSHA police, then you could be cited financially as a business for non-compliance.
We'd much rather have you show up than OSHA show up.
Absolutely, because those fines can range over $12,000 per citation for a serious violation, and so that can be significant compared to, you know, the cost of what we would ask the customer to pay. Right.
Let's talk about some of the types of companies that you work with, and where are they located? Are they all over the U.S.?
That's a good question. So, we're regional right now. So we're focused really in the Southeast U.S., but we also do work with clients internationally as well when they want to bring their business to the U.S. So we recently worked with a Japanese company who has production operations in Japan, and they wanted to enter the U.S. market, and they opened a manufacturing facility in south of Atlanta. And so we visited their facility in Japan to inspect their equipment, their processes, to do an assessment so they know that they're in compliance in the U.S., but mm-hmm. also that they're keeping workers safe for their U.S. facility.
Typically, I'll ask one dumb question every show, so this might be the dumb question, John.
Okay, bring it on.
Yeah, I know you're like shocked.
Matt's bracing himself.
There's no dumb questions here. So.
I like that answer.
I like you already.
Yeah.
I think of OSHA, and I'm always thinking construction sites.
Sure.
And that's all I think of. Right. Are there other industries, other businesses that you're working with other than, again, I know it's a dumb question, other than construction?
That's actually not a dumb question because, so OSHA, really, there's four different sets of regulations. Two of them include most businesses in the U.S., which one is construction. The second one is general industry, which effectively is anything but construction. And so, you know, we target companies that are in the manufacturing sector as well as in healthcare. So OSHA regulations are applicable to any business in the U.S. that has one or more employees. So it doesn't matter what industry, what hazards the employees have exposure to, they're required to keep their workers safe, and we can help with that.
Now, I'm going to take a shot at asking the dumb question, okay? I'm curious about 750 pages of regulation sounds pretty onerous, but this is not a fixed kind of thing, right? I mean, don't regulations change every year based on what OSHA decides? They're evolving a view of what makes a safe work environment?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very good question, because that's part of what we provide from a service perspective, is making sure that our clients understand the most recent regulations that are applicable to their business. So the regulations do change, new ones come down. Most of the time they don't get removed, but when the new ones come down, we help keep our clients up to date. And if you sign up on our website for our newsletter, we'll also send out updates for that as well.
By the way, John, if you're keeping track, we're 0 for 2 for asking dumb questions.
Hey, we're on a roll, right? Yeah, exactly. We need to end the show.
Keep it going. Break the momentum now.
I know. We need to end the show before we break that, right? But no, seriously, I want to ask folks, because I know this is not a subject they want to deal with, but they listening to you, I'm sure, has sparked something for folks out there. So those that are interested, how do they start a relationship with you? How does that work? What does that engagement look like?
And how do you find your new clients as well? How do you find new business?
Yeah, so we work a lot with referral partners, attorneys in particular, because they have direct exposure to clients who may have workplace safety related issues. I also work with insurance brokers that are trying to offer a solution to their clients to help keep the costs associated with injuries in the workplace down. And, the thing that we do with all of our new and prospective clients is we offer a free on-site consultation to help them understand where they may have some gaps in their program. And then we help provide them with a solution to that that's customized to their business, so they can really have a plan for what needs to be done and then how we're going to help them do that. So we offer that to any business that is interested in our service.
Great. Well, for those businesses that would like to reach out and find out more, Matt, where can they get more information about TSG Safety?
Sure. So they can visit our website at tsgsafety.com. You can also send us an email. My email is matt@tsgsafety.com. That's M-A-T-T. And we're also on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all the social media outlets at TSG Safety is our handle for all of them.
Okay. Yep. And as you look around the Business Radio X studio here, thumbs up, everything looking good, no exposed wires.
I think you're good for the time being.
Okay, good.
But I'll do a free consultation for you, though.
There you go. Matt, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Matt Thompson with TSG Safety here on North Fulton Business Radio.
You know, Mike, Digital Ignition is the ultimate place for entrepreneurs to work, innovate, learn, establish, and grow their companies. Nestled within a 45,000 square foot building, is an open floor plan with co-working office space, dedicated desk, private offices, meeting rooms, event space, a classroom, a video recording studio, a fantastic break room with outdoor patio, and all the fresh ground coffee you can drink. If you want great co-working as well as space which impresses investors, customers, and future employees, visit digitalignition.com.
All that fresh ground coffee, that's what keeps Trey awake some days. It's good stuff.
That's right. And you know what? It causes us to ask bad questions sometimes too, but we did okay today, I think.
And on that note, yes, I want to remind our listeners that you can listen to this show anytime you want, 24/7 by going to businessradiox.com, select the North Fulton studio, and the name of the show is North Fulton Business Radio. So you can listen to this show, any of our shows, by going to businessradiox.com. We're also all over social media, LinkedIn and Facebook. Twitter. We do that Twitter thing all the time.
The Twitter thing.
Yeah, that too. And you can also subscribe to us on iTunes. These shows are available on iTunes.
Yeah, and review us, please.
Yes.
Because that helps these great businesses get exposure.
Give us thumbs up or we're going to send OSHA on you. All right. Want to thank our guest, Michael Blake from Brady Ware & Company and Matt Thompson from TSG Safety. Also, our thanks to our producer, Trey. For John, I'm Mike. We'll see you next time right here on North Fulton Business Radio.